Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes Brave! Here's the throw to the plate!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Vance Dooley and the Georgia damn Bulldogs, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Export, pilfer, we filth, we sack, drink up, me hearties, yo-ho. Maroon, embezzle, and even hijack, drink up, me hearties, yo-ho.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle and charm.
No, we're not going to watch the Pirates of the Caribbean. We're not going to watch, what was the, there were pirates in, what was the Disney movie, the kid that flew around everywhere?
Peter Pan.
Yeah. The Neverland Pirates.
Did I miss something? Are we playing East Carolina this week? I thought we were playing.
Nah, man, we're playing them pigs of Arkansas. But what we did this past weekend, Walker, went up to Vanderbilt, Nashville, Tennessee, the Commodores.
Vanderbilt.
Who were out riding that rudderless ship.
Mm-hmm.
We lined up our cannons. Went full on pirate, baby.
You've been waiting on that.
We sunk that ship, man.
I imagine Logan last night, like, lying in bed, trying to go to sleep and just thinking about, you know, what am I going to have planned for the second string tomorrow? And he just imagined rudderless ship Commodore getting blown up by cannonball.
We have three cannons, and we're firing all three
of
those cannons.
We have more?
No, that's it for now.
I mean, we did score 62 points.
It takes a few minutes to reload the cannons. You don't just flip a switch and you have another cannonball to fire. How about one cannon fire for each of Brock Bauer's touchdowns?
We'll leave it
at that for now. We'll hit him with more cannonballs in a few minutes, man. But bottom line, yes or no, and feel free to explain all you want. Are you satisfied with what Georgia did to Vanderbilt after we spent the better part of the last year talking about we want to not just beat them but destroy them, embarrass them, sink the rudderless ship to new depths we've never sank them before? After the game on Saturday, 62-0, do you feel like we got the revenge that we owed them?
Yes, and I'm now seeing backlash to that. Like, some people now on the Twitters are like, well, I don't know why Georgia felt like they needed to get revenge.
I know exactly why we needed to get revenge on Vanderbilt.
This fan base is so childish.
Are you talking about somebody that works in the building?
No. I would,
because we do have one that works in the building.
I would never say
that. I'm just saying.
But I'm like, it was a big thing last year that they canceled Senior Day twice. And the explanations that were received were never really very good ones. And
the cannon got reloaded, by the way.
The cannon probably should be reloaded one more time.
Say less, my friend.
Thank you. And yeah, is it petty? I don't know, maybe. But as a very proud fan base, the people around here in Athens said, hey, we need to show a little brother there. We need to show him some tough love. And we need to go to Nashville and we need to fill up their stadium with Georgia fans. And then we need to score about 100 points on their team. And then next year, you know, they won't
cancel senior day twice.
They won't be so quick to cancel games on us.
Yeah, poor Clark Lee, the new head coach of Vanderbilt, he had to take the brunt of all of it. But you know what? I don't care, man. I don't care who it is. It's the program itself that didn't come to Athens not once but twice. All right, we've hit him with all three cannons twice each, so I'm feeling good right now.
I feel like it was not a fair fight.
It was borderline dangerous.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. So at this point, I'm glad that no one got hurt. I was prepared to move on from that game at halftime, honestly. And I hope everybody that went to Nashville had a great time. Nashville is a whole lot of fun. But just watching the game from my couch, even mid-second quarter, I was like, all right, you know, maybe remember in Rocky IV? Oh, you've never seen it.
Never seen it.
Remember when he says, throw the damn towel.
Nope.
Throw the damn towel. That's kind of how I felt here. This was such a mismatch. The talent gap right now is so wide between Georgia and Vanderbilt. I feel like there's some pretty good high school football teams in South Georgia that maybe could give Vanderbilt a decent game. And Georgia, let's be honest, dialed it back a little bit. Kirby and Todd Monken dialed it back a little bit. Georgia could have scored 100 points
on
Saturday.
They easily could have scored 100 points. There was a man that we like to refer to as beautiful, gorgeous.
That beautiful, beautiful man.
Did not even play a snap in the second quarter. Sorry about the email. I'm going to leave that in. It was an embarrassment.
Can you imagine going 9 for 10 and the only incomplete pass you threw was a drop and threw a few touchdowns?
I can't imagine it by vicariously living through that beautiful, beautiful
and then
man.
Your day's just over. Then you go just hang out the rest of the day.
Well, he actually went to Tootsie's to watch the rest of the game there.
That's good.
With a couple of Vanderbilt cheerleaders he met on the sidelines. They had a great time, I'm being told.
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Mr. Steal Your Girl. love me some JT. Yeah, he looked good on the way to Vanderbilt. He looked good at Vanderbilt. Now I'm really, really excited about what comes next. And look, this is the Tuesday show. We're just kind of flying through some things today. We'll be with you for about 30 minutes or so. But then Thursday, we'll really dive into what I think could be a very, very fun Saturday between the hedges. I'm no longer worried about noon. I'm serious. I don't think the noon kickoff is going to have any effect. In fact, I believe that this Georgia fan base is embracing this after Kirby Smart's challenge after the game on Saturday.
I want to thank our fans for packing at the stadium, but I want to issue a challenge, and I want it to be heard right now. You know, we got a huge game next week at 12 o'clock in Athens, Georgia, and everybody wants our team to be elite, and I want our team to be elite, and we've thrown that word around. So when we talk about our fan base, we talk about our fan base being elite, you know, we want to be there early and show up better than we ever have. We want to be loud, which is the L, louder than we ever have. We want to be super intense because the players are going to be intense. We need the fans to be intense. The toughness that we're going to show, we need our fan base to show. And the last thing is elite. So if our fans will be elite, we'll have an opportunity to put on a heck of a show at 12 o'clock in Sanford Stadium next week.
Man.
Yeah, that didn't make the interwebs, but he actually finished it once again by saying,
how about the
he messed up, though.
As he should.
He messed up the acronym. The final E, he said elite. It stands for energetic. Okay, so Kirby, get your mind right. Got all week to do this. But I'm telling you, man, this is one of those cheesy motivational posters you're going to find at the wall of Dunder Mifflin. And we're all going to be elite today. We're going to be early. We're going to be energetic. We're going to be loud. We're going to be tough. Blah, blah, blah. Wow. And it sounds really cheesy, but here's the thing, man. What I've noticed amongst my circle of friends and family, the interwebs that I participate and interact with on a daily basis, our callers on the 960 The Ref morning show, everybody I know that has plans to be at this game on Saturday, they are embracing this challenge. College game day, we'll get to more on that in a minute here. I think that is going to enhance the mood around Athens.
Yes.
I'm telling you, man, if you've been to a lot of games like you and I have been to, Walker, and a lot of our listeners have, I think you might see the rowdiest noon crowd we've ever had this coming Saturday when Arkansas and Georgia run through those tunnels, man. I think it's going to be elite.
Yeah, I like the word you use.
Early, loud.
Good choice.
Energetic. No, that's not. E-L-I. What is the I?
Idealistic.
For?
Important.
Intimidating.
Intimidating.
Tough.
I like it.
And full of encouragement.
Okay. I get your point. Good point. Well made. You know, maybe we've messed up the acronym. Maybe we've messed up the word.
Early, loud, intense, tough, energetic.
Somewhere along the line, something got lost in translation. But the message was received loud and clear. And listen, Kirby Smart, even with the mistake, even with that, hearing that sound clip again, I wanted to get up and I wanted to run out on the field between the hedges and play for that man.
We want to encourage all of our kids to participate.
Well, thank you, Corrine. I mean, if they'll let me participate, I'll participate because...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
As a lifelong Georgia fan, that's what we need. We... As a fan base, I think sometimes need a little prompt like that. And Kirby is very good at that when he issues these challenges to the Georgia fans. Because you know what? He does need a loud, energetic crowd. He does see the danger in a top 10 team coming in here and a noon kickoff. And Kirby knows how sleepy that stadium can be at noon on a Saturday sometimes.
Here's the difference, though. And I know a lot of people have drawn the comparisons to, okay, you're an 18-point favorite over Arkansas. You were a 21 or so point favorite over South Carolina back in 2019. And look what happened. Georgia lost. I mean, I vowed to like not bring that up extensively because I think this team and this opponent and the energy around this fan base is completely different than that week in 2019.
Sure.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I get it. It's a talking point. We've seen it before. We've seen a Georgia team at noon completely overlook an opponent. Everything went wrong. But I'm telling you, man, I think those of us that live and breathe this stuff, we are seeing and we are finally recognizing that this is a darn good Georgia football team.
It really is. And look, Georgia fans probably would have come to Sanford Stadium with some energy on Saturday anyway. I mean, we're football savvy enough. It's a top 10 matchup. ESPN Game Day is in town, for crying out loud. But the fact that Kirby took it an extra step and said, hey, personally, I'm going – to challenge you fans because, again, when he said, I want to fill up Sanford Stadium for G-Day, it happened. And now when he says, I want you to be there 30 minutes early and I want you to be loud for this Arkansas game, you better believe it's going to happen. I've already seen a lot of chatter on social media where folks you wouldn't expect to be saying things like this are saying like, I'm going to be there an hour early. I'm going to start my tailgate 2 hours earlier than I would have just to make sure that I do what Kirby has asked me to do.
Big Dominican lunch.
And you smoke a little pipe. No, don't do that.
I wasn't going to go there. My goodness, Walker. I'm just talking about tailgating with
We're not on the radio this week. Right? So I appreciate him putting that out there. I appreciate the response from the Georgia fans. And I'm with you. I think that we're going to see the loudest, most energetic noon crowd we've ever seen between the edges.
Bring it on, man. You're right. I was going to bring it up. You already did. That challenge on G-Day back in 2016 was well-received, well-answered. I have the same vibe, the same feel this week. It's only going to marinate and get better and better and bigger as the week goes on. We're recording this on Tuesday. I'm telling you, by Friday night, by Saturday morning, this town is going to be so ready for a top 10 matchup between the hedges. I've got a buddy that does radio just like I do on a show in Little Rock, Arkansas. Big Hogs fan, Hogs alumni. I've known him for many, many years over at SEC Media Days. I've helped him out. He's helped me out with all kind of stuff. He's coming to town this weekend, but I texted him when College Game Day announced they were coming. I was like, John, why on earth at SEC Media Days did we not talk about College Game Day coming to our game on October 2nd? Because this is such that who saw this coming ordeal. Now, College Game Day did pass up, by the way, Alabama and Ole Miss, the Lane train going back to Tuscaloosa. And let me tell you real quick, on the record, I think Ole Miss has a chance.
I do as well.
I would not put a dollar toward it. But I think Ole Miss has a chance to win outright in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. Probably not going to happen, but don't color me shocked if it does. Arkansas coming to town, they just see this as a really good story. I think this is partly ESPN thinking like, all right, the kettle is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas is about to play Georgia. Who's after that? They got to go to Ole Miss, and then somebody else late
Auburn.
Auburn. Yeah, that's the next three games for Arkansas. And look, chances are Arkansas is not going to win all three of those games.
Right.
In fact, I see them going 1-2. I don't think they beat Georgia or Ole Miss. But the storyline with Sam Pittman, the quick turnaround, going back to Georgia where he coached for a few years, and then Georgia being as good as Georgia has looked so far, and they know this is the only chance they get to come to Athens based on this home schedule. They're not coming back for Kentucky. They're not coming back for Missouri.
Right.
Sure as heck not coming back for College of Charleston, whoever that game is late in the
season.
Charleston Southern. There's been a murder in Charleston.
Do you think Kirby's going to issue a challenge for the Charleston Southern game?
Otherwise, we may have a half-empty stadium. That's Saturday before Thanksgiving week. But no, this is a good opportunity. I like what ESPN did by coming. I think it's a good chance to feature a good story, starting with that beautiful, beautiful man at quarterback. I think, and I talked about this on my show this week, that as of right now, Jordan Davis is becoming a household name.
Yeah.
But the nation doesn't know Jordan Davis. We know Jordan Davis from the years he's been here, the fun character, the outspoken, just really cool guy that has taken the hearts of Bulldog Nation. We love him, man. But I don't think the rest of the nation has had a chance to get to know him at all. I would bet a lot of money that Game Day will do a feature on that massive human being that wears number 99 on Saturdays. And people are going to love him. And I honestly think you may see like an NIL deal or two come out of this. So this is actually a profitable thing for guys like Jordan Davis and others on that defense and offense that the nation's going to get to see.
I think that they will take full advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself late in the season in a situation where Georgia is undefeated or is in contention for the SEC or even the college football playoff, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have Jordan Davis sitting in New York City as a Heisman finalist.
Man.
I mean, what a cool story that
a
would
defensive
be.
Defensive lineman as
right.
a Heisman finalist.
I know. I mean, it's something you won't see, you might not see again for a long, long, long time, but he is just, you said it, the face, the personality, the size, the strength. I mean, he's going to be a huge NFL prospect, obviously.
Two national championships.
I don't know that he's going to have time to win two national championships. Maybe he'll win one.
NCAA BCS championship bowl game.
I could see him getting a ring from that.
Can we just imagine for a minute the Bulldogs winning the BCS National Championship Bowl game.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, kind of on the spot here. If you were to select your three Heisman Trophy finalists right now, after 4 weeks of college football, who's the three you're putting in the New York?
It's got to be Coral over in Oxford and
that beautiful, beautiful man. No, he doesn't have the stats. He doesn't play enough.
He doesn't, and it's unfortunate that he had so many people injured early in the season. Didn't really light up the scoreboard against Clemson or you know, throw for a lot of yardage. But remember, that is – I know everybody's, like, frustrated with Clemson right now. I am too. Clemson, you couldn't do one thing. You couldn't just win the ACC and
Come
make
on,
us
man.
Look good.
It doesn't matter, by the way.
No,
it
doesn't.
Does not
but,
matter.
You know, JT, back to him, just is not really the stats to be in that conversation yet. I don't know. Maybe down the road.
I like Jordan Davis as a finalist.
I'm saying.
I think you're on to something.
I like Bryce over in Alabama, over in T-Town. That's going to be an interesting kind of matchup this weekend because one of those guys is going to get vaulted into that Heisman front runner position, depending on who wins on Saturday between Alabama and Ole Miss. But, yeah. Put 99 up there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wouldn't that be cool? I'm not saying he has to win.
They better stock the buffet. Put a little extra on the side, if you know what I'm saying.
And go back to that Clemson thing for a minute, because I have found this to be the most obnoxious hot take in college football this week. Even worse than after Georgia defeated Clem and his son, Right after that, what did you hear?
Oh, Georgia's offense isn't any good, Paul. Mm-mm-mm. Georgia's offense is terrible. They're going to lose three or four games because they can't score against nobody. Okay.
I like this voice, by the way.
Obviously, we all knew Georgia had a great offense, and now that is being shown now that we have some players healthy. Now, the new most obnoxious hot take in the world is Georgia ain't played nobody, mm-mm-mm. Paul. They ain't beat nobody any good. Well, I was there that night, and I could tell you that was a very, very good Clemson defense that Georgia played against. And that was about as energetic of a stadium as you're going to find. That was a big-time matchup. And, yeah, Clemson, I think we broke them. We broke the Tigers, and they've fallen off. But I still think that was a good win over Clemson. And if Georgia now goes and defeats a top 10 team Saturday against Arkansas, please spare me with the Georgia ain't played nobody.
It doesn't matter, though. That's the thing, is that Georgia controls its destiny right now. Now, if you slip up and lose a game to Arkansas or to, I don't know, pick a team later, God forbid Florida, we're not losing to them.
Go Gator.
Stop, Kareen. She's been so quiet the whole morning. Drop a game. Is that it? Who else is even a challenge? I'm being serious. Like, who else could even remotely run with Georgia?
The
right
November
now?
Schedule is pretty bad.
I watched Georgia State almost beat Auburn. I saw Auburn use the final play of the game, or their game, their offense, to beat Georgia State.
Fair point.
I'm not buying Georgia Tech. Oh, they've been a good story the last couple weeks.
Good
a moral
story.
Victory against Clem and his son, and they beat a highly overrated, we've known, UNC team. Okay, I'm not buying Tech even remotely.
Right.
I'm not buying Kentucky that beat South Carolina by 3.
What if
at home or what if, 7 at home, whatever
what if,
it was.
What if Kentucky beats the Gators this weekend? Then will you buy into Kentucky?
Walker just painted a really nice picture into my head. It involves the cats of the bluegrass state whipping up on them Gators like they owe them some money.
The snitches get stitches.
Kentucky's at home.
They were at home against South Carolina, and they beat them by a single possession. That's a bad South
Are
Carolina.
You and I
didn't even get to talk about the Georgia-South Carolina game.
Well, Shane Beamer talked about it enough for all of us.
He did that.
I mean, he summed it up very nicely in about 13 seconds.
And will we all stop psyching ourselves out over Missouri? I've had to get onto my co-host multiple times. Every single year it's the same thing. Well, watch out for that Missouri team. Watch out for Missouri. Yeah. Georgia has lost to Missouri one time, and that was in 2013 when pretty much 18 of our top 10 players were out with injuries. Yes, the math adds up. It was just a bad day for Georgia. But other than that, we have had our way with Missouri. They just lost to Boston College. They were trailing at halftime to Central Michigan.
Ew.
This is not a good Missouri team.
No.
Okay, you're going to manhandle Missouri. They may not score on you.
Yeah, I think October is a pretty decent schedule for Georgia. It's going to line up pretty well. Arkansas is obviously where they are right now. They're a great story. They're ranked in the top 10.
They Auburn, won't be after Saturday.
Probably not. Auburn, as you mentioned, is certainly not the best team in the SEC.
Yeah, more Eagle.
But playing over there. They do. Goodness, they do. But playing over there is going to be a challenge.
They got a quarterback controversy, like you said.
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix got yanked.
Oh, man.
You
Against
saw
Georgia
this,
State?
Right? Did you not see this?
I didn't watch any of
you
that
didn't watch,
game.
I watched a lot of the second
I'll
half.
Wait,
yeah, Bo
I'll take
Nix,
that back. I watched the last play where Georgia State got their hearts broken.
And you didn't realize that wasn't Bo Nix throwing
no.
the ball? That was TJ Finley, the LSU transfer. But Nix got benched. They got themselves a controversy over in Auburn right now, so they're a mess.
They don't have a
they
controversy.
They fired their wide receiver coach this week.
Somebody told me Bo Nix was going to win the Heisman.
I was told after he put up 60 points on Akron or whoever it was that, yeah, he was the Heisman front runner.
I was told that after their moral victory at Penn State.
Auburn sucks.
Boy, can we talk about that, too? There's been some big-time moral victories this year.
Oh, Lord have mercy. We got messages from some of our second-string cheeseheads. It's like, man, I wish you guys were around this week because I imagine had we been here, now Kareen loved having the week off, but that woman would have worn her cocktail dress. She would have been loaded with some Mardi Gras beads, dancing around here talking about their moral victory
Man.
Over them Alabama Crimson Tide.
Let's do a quick fact check.
You would have thought
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Florida had beaten Alabama by three touchdowns as giddy as their fan base was. I've never, since Florida State almost beat Notre Dame in week one, that was the last time I saw a fan base so incredibly giddy about a loss.
That Florida Gators are again a championship team and, that have made history.
Thank you, Kareen. And I actually got some crowing from South Carolina fans about how they hung with Georgia.
What? They hung with who?
and I think
let's do a quick
only lost
check.
By 27 points.
Well, they did score a touchdown late.
And that's what I heard. Oh, we burned your defensive backs all night. Yeah, just wait till next year because Georgia's done.
One, two, three, four, five. Then the Gators don't take no jive.
Man, I mean, between all that and Auburn nearly winning at Penn State, you know, they were super proud of that. I'm like, my goodness, man. It's good to be a Georgia fan.
I tweeted this the Saturday or the Sunday after the whole game. I was on vacation, but I tweeted this out. I was like, you know what happened to every single college football fan that went to bed last night with a moral victory? They woke up Sunday with a loss in the loss column.
Yeah.
Point blank, that's how this works.
That is a fair
Maybe you won money in Vegas because you covered the spread. I don't care about a damn spread. I care about who wins on Saturdays.
You're on your game today, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You made like three good points today.
Three good points.
I mean, that's a record for
you. Let's do a quick fact check.
I've made 10 good points in one show.
I would say this to you. I would say that so far, I've watched a lot of college football so far this season. Obviously, I did not watch any or enough of the Georgia State-Auburn game.
What about the second half of Georgia-Vanderbilt?
I watched some of that. But I will say what I've seen, and I've seen Alabama play a couple of times. I've seen Penn State play. I've seen Iowa play and Oregon. I would say Georgia right now is the most complete team in the country, and I don't think it's all that close.
It feels like it, man. And I actually liked it. I liked watching, as weird as this is going to sound, just bear with me here. I enjoyed, and I didn't watch much of it, by the way. I was hobnobbing up in the mountains of Utah. I was doing some beautiful, beautiful things. With the brother and my nephew and his wife. But let me say this. When it was all shaken out and done, obviously I loved that Florida got the loss. But when I really let it digest, and I know Florida fans were giddy and beside themselves, that everything they make fun of Georgia for doing, and that's coming close against Alabama, then losing it in heartbreaking fashion, well, I saw them not convert a two-point conversion. And the only reason they had to go for two is because they missed an extra point earlier in the game. All of that adds up to a heartbreaking loss. Georgia has had plenty of those against Alabama the last few years, one of them being the holy grail of heartbreaks, okay, in the national championship game. I've been told by Florida mouth breathers for the last several years that we should be embarrassed, that we can't get over the Alabama hump, and you guys are just always going to be the bridesmaid, not the bride, blah, blah, blah. Well, all you have to do is pull up the history, and Nick Saban lost to Alabama in the 2008 SEC championship game. Ever since then, they have lost, I think, 11 in a row, or maybe it's like 8 in a row. They don't play, haven't played them as many times as Georgia, but they have gotten beat, sometimes by a lot, sometimes in heartbreaking fashion, to the Emperor Nick Saban, just like Georgia has done.
Well, just like everyone has.
Florida finished the 2008 season with a 13-1 record.
Thank you, Chris. She's very proud of that win over Nick.
She is very proud of
that. Very proud of the win over Nick.
Unless you're Dabo Swinney, who you know, I can't stand, but credit where credit's due, has beaten Alabama twice, or unless you're Ole Miss, who has beaten Alabama a couple of times, no one has any kind of bragging rights against Alabama. So to say, like, oh, well, you guys can't beat Alabama, again, it's just a tired thing. And I would also caution Georgia fans who keep messaging me and texting me, and, oh, what's going to happen when we play Bama? Oh, are we going to beat Bama this year? What's going to, you know, we're all wringing our hands about Alabama. You know, I think right now Georgia's a better team than Alabama, but that game is a long way away, and that game is not on the schedule. It may it not even materialize.
It might be Ole Miss.
Well, would that be fun?
Absolutely.
Would you like to see Ole Miss's offense
I would love
against
it.
Georgia's defense in the bins in December?
Let me backtrack real quick, because what I was going to say about the Florida-Alabama game is when it all shook out and Florida got the loss, I actually leaned more toward that made Alabama look beatable more than, oh my gosh, Florida's better than we thought. When Alabama beat Miami 44-13, which doesn't sound that wide of a margin. I know they got that quick start, and we all were watching like, oh my God, this team is unbelievable. They're unbeatable. Again. Here we go again. Since then, this is what Miami has done. They've lost by 2 points to your wife's alma mater in App State.
They beat App State.
They should. Yeah, they beat. I apologize. Yeah. I'm reading it.
But backwards. Almost lost.
They should have lost to App State.
Agreed.
The next week, they lost to a Michigan State team that I don't think is very good.
Yeah. And
38-17. Then I'm not even counting Central Connecticut. Whatever the heck that is. They beat something called Central Connecticut. Ooh, 69-0. That's what Georgia fans wanted on Saturday, by the way.
But is it?
I hate those jokes, by the way. If I were an employer and I had firing power, if I find out that you made the nice joke on 69, you're fired, dude. You're out of here. That is the dumbest. You make yourself look like you've got an IQ of about 6 and a reading level of about 6th grade when you do the nice joke after you see the number 69. Don't embarrass yourself. You look like an idiot.
I can't disagree with you.
You look like an absolute fool. 10-year-old idiot. Anyway, what I was saying.
Miami. Back to Miami.
Miami is not as good as we thought. Remember they used to be ranked? They were actually ranked preseason. Now they're just a hot mess garbage. What I'm saying is, and I'm not a big fan of the transitive property way we look at college football, but if you really want to start doing that, I don't think Alabama beat a very good Miami team. I think Georgia would have looked eerily similar to Alabama had it played Miami that week also. And back to what you're saying about looking at the whole body of work and knowing that Georgia's about to get some pieces back that haven't even played yet. We haven't even mentioned Darnell Washington back this week. Mm-hmm. We'll dive into that maybe on Thursday. But this Georgia team's about to get better. And still some players on the bench that might come back later in the season. I would love to see, and now here's where beating Clemson is so darn important in hindsight. I do, and this is the first time I've ever said these words, so brace yourself. I believe, and I thoroughly, in my heart of hearts, think that if Georgia can roll into the SEC championship game at 12-0, for the first time in Georgia's history, it can lose that game, and it will still be in the college football playoff.
Agreed.
I don't think Georgia has ever earned that before. And I know we talk about like, oh, if this year we can go 12-0, but I think the love is there. I think the dominance is there. I think the storyline is there, and it's getting to the point where if Georgia can take care of business between now and December, Georgia and Alabama may want to consider just saying, nope, we're not playing it. There's no point. We're both going to be in. They're going to play, obviously. But
can the mailman play?
Sure, throw him out there, man. But I think Georgia can lose that game. Now, let's just say Georgia rolls in there and beats Alabama handedly, gets the number one seed in the playoff. I think you can do it again. I'm not sure any team in this nation can go 60 full minutes with this Georgia defense and expect to put up any form of a respectable score. And I think Georgia's offense is getting better and better and better.
What I saw Saturday was just fantastic.
It was.
We use the term beautiful a lot, but especially in that first quarter, everything that was happening offensively for Georgia was beautiful. And I specifically texted a friend of mine who was very, very down on the Georgia offense after the Clemson game. This with an offense like this, Georgia ain't going to win 9 games. This offense is terrible. And it's like, hey, what about that offense now? I told you, relax. Everything's going to be fine. JT Daniels looked very sharp, both in the South Carolina game and the Vanderbilt game. I mean, the kid is slinging it, and his accuracy, I mean, he is he's playing very, very well right now. Let's just say that. The Georgia running game is a work in progress, but I felt like it made some strides against Vanderbilt. Obviously, the defense, my God, did you see I don't know if it was Devontae Wyatt, maybe it was someone else, but literally – like pick a Vanderbilt player, offensive lineman, up, it seemed like up off the ground, and just discard him to the side and then run through the hole that was created and sack the quarterback.
It's like, not fair, man.
It was like, wow, that was a grown man that just threw another grown man out of the way. Maybe it was a quarterback. Maybe it was a run play, and he stuffed the tailback coming up the middle there. But just when you see that, and you're like, God, this isn't even fair, man. This, if it were a fight, it would have been stopped. And Georgia honestly did that to South Carolina. They did that to UAB, and they did that to Clemson. And they're going to do it to Arkansas. The Arkansas fans are all like, oh, well, Georgia's defense is pretty average. I mean, they just haven't played anybody. No, man. If you had watched, if you've watched any of the four games, you're going to say, whoa.
Let them think it. Let them have that mindset.
It's frightening.
This front seven is elite. There's that word again. Mm-hmm. The linebackers are elite. I think the only chance that teams have to score on Georgia is to hit the home run ball. You saw South Carolina do it one time. Maybe get a turnover deep in some coverage or something and then take advantage of that. But no one's going to ground and pound against Georgia. Mm-mm. No one's going to dink and dunk against Georgia. But I could see maybe a couple of times when you do get beat on the long ball. But you mentioned a moment ago, Tyke Smith coming back. That's a great All-American safety. Or a member of the secondary. I'm not sure where exactly he's going to fall in, but this secondary is playing very well. I'm not worried about the secondary.
When you have
right now,
pass rush like Georgia has, it really makes things a lot easier on your defensive backs.
I know it sounds like you and I both have the Kool-Aid stain on our lip, and maybe we do. I'm there right now, man. This is the most fun and most optimism that I have felt this early in a football season in a very long time. And we love the Dogs. We're homers. Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
but I think finally, for the first time in a while, I'm talking about national championship aspirations, and I feel like I might mean it.
Well, and hopefully next week we're not coming in here talking about, oh, we barely escaped Arkansas, and there's a lot of things we got to work on, because you're right. Right now, I am feeling it both sides of the ball, and it's only – this is the thing I keep reminding people of, too. It's only going to get better. I mean, you're going to see a weapon in the Big O this Saturday that we haven't seen all year. And you think Brock Bowers is something. I mean, Darnell Washington is – well, he would have been the starter, let's just say that, had he been available week one. So the fact that there's a tight end on the roster that maybe is even better than Brock Bowers, it's like, oh, my goodness. And we haven't had a fully healthy Arian Smith yet. We haven't even seen Dominic Blaylock yet. As you go week to week to week, and maybe you even see the big prize towards the end of the season in George Pickens, but as you go from week to week to week, you're going to see Georgia hopefully just bring more and more weapons into the fold. And that's where you're like, whoo, good luck to those teams in November. I mean, good luck to Mizzou and Tennessee.
I said it almost like preemptively before the Clemson game, because we talked about this. I kind of in my head feared that game a lot more than I should have. I think Georgia's defense played way better than I expected. And now that we've seen several more games, it's dominant as I've ever seen. But we talked about, okay, if you lose to Clemson, and I talked about it kind of expecting to lose to Clemson. I'm not going to lie. Glad we won the game, but I knew that Georgia could get better and better, like you're saying, get more pieces back, get better as the season goes on. And if the dominoes would have fallen where Georgia and Clemson wound up meeting again in the playoff, we know that's not going to happen now, because Clemson, you're done.
They're done.
You're out. Georgia and Clemson would have been a completely different game to me. I felt like, okay, if you lose to them now, it's going to stink. The narrative all season is going to be the, yeah, but they can't win against the big teams, no matter how good Georgia looked. And that's why I'm having so much fun this early fall, is we don't have the yeah, but conversation. I feel like we're finally getting the respect around the nation that we've felt like we deserve for a long time, and it's here.
Well, the fact that after Clemson lost to North Carolina State, there was absolutely zero conversation about should Georgia still be ranked number two. No one, and outside of callers to the Paul Feinbaum show, no one said,
we got to get you off that show.
Georgia's just overrated now. I mean, you didn't hear that. Everyone that has watched Georgia play will still say, no, 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 this is a very, very, very good team. Do not be fooled by that. And I think Arkansas fans are falling into that trap a little bit this week. You know, I saw something on Twitter yesterday. It was like, well, you know, not only is Georgia's defense pretty average, their offensive line is pretty terrible, and this guy JT Daniels, he's not really the guy. I mean, you know, you watch him play, he's pretty pedestrian. I'm like, I don't know what team you're watching, man. I don't know what team you're watching where Georgia's pass rush has been average. Like, good luck, Arkansas, running the ball on Saturday. That's
and they're going. They're going to need to, by the way.
Well, that's their game. Yeah. They are a run-first team, and maybe they will be able to have more success than anyone else has just because they're going to do it so often, and they have some skilled players in their backfield. Fine. Their quarterback is going to gain some yards. It's going to happen. It's not going to be a complete shutdown like it was against Vanderbilt, but – are they going to run up and down the field? Are they going to score 30 points?
No.
No.
Absolutely
They got
not.
A great playmaker at wide receiver, but they got one. Okay? I mean, you said Georgia's secondary is good enough. They are up to that challenge. I don't even see Arkansas scoring 20 points this weekend. There's my hot take.
Not even score. No, I don't think. I think 20 is a super high number.
I think they're less than 20.
I think if they score 20, it's going to require a defensive touchdown, a turnover deep in the red zone. I don't know. I don't see him scoring 20.
And the way that number 18 is throwing the ball right now, I do believe Georgia is going to score in the 30s. So if I had to pick right now, and I haven't even really thought about this, so obviously this is not an official thing for me, but if I had to pick right now, I'm looking like a 34-17 kind of Georgia win.
It's too high. I see Georgia winning this thing 34-10, and, okay. it's not even that close. All right, hey, for those of us stuck around this long into the Tuesday podcast, I got a treat for you.
Okay.
I'm talking about polar bears, sun bears, moon bears,
Utah bears, Colorado bears, desert bears, grizzly bears that Logan fended off. He survived a bear attack. Logan is stronger than a bear. He put that bear right in its place. Now that bear, he has a limp and he has to look with only one eye. You want to hear about my Utah and Colorado trip, man? Come on, man.
Of course I do.
We could spend 35 minutes talking about my trip, about the bears.
Unless it involves another
Bear attack?
Yeah, fake bear attack.
No, in fact, I want to make it sports related, man. I'll tell you what. I'm serious when I say this. I went to that BYU Arizona State football game a couple weeks ago. It was the same night that you guys were hanging out watching the dogs whip up on the South Carolina Gamecocks. Mm-hmm. I did watch the first half, every single bit of Georgia, South Carolina, at my brother's house on the little YouTube TV I had. Here's one thing I'm very jealous of, by the way. I took the very short car ride over to BYU Stadium from the brother's house at halftime of our game. So we're up whatever the score was.
It was pretty bad.
We were feeling good. When I parked a few blocks from the stadium, walked in, that is an early arriving crowd, man. They were there in their seats. They were elite, Walker. They were early, loud, intense, tough, and electric before kickoff. They set the example.
This starts to sound more like the 5 D's of dodgeball every time you say
it. It kind of does. But Kirby, I'm all in, my man. I promise you that.
Dodge, dive, and dodge.
How about that? Oh,
my phone worked. I don't know what BYU's Lavelle Edwards Stadium has done, but I was able to pull my phone out in a crowd and watch every single snap of the second half of Georgia, South Carolina.
Nice.
And it bled into the first quarter of BYU's game, which was fine. I, in my lap, in a full stadium, was able to sit there with my phone and continue to watch us dismantle South Carolina. So I actually did not miss a snap of our game, thank goodness. But the atmosphere at BYU was awesome. They did that whiteout thing, and I was cheering on BYU because they're the local team. I'm like, why not? Let me just go for the home guys. They're a good story. It was a good game. The crowd was into it. That student body, I don't know what the number of the student body is at BYU, but it felt like every single one of them was there supporting their guys, man. It was massive. They all had those inflatable sticks that they were beating together, making that little drum noise and stuff. It was good, man. And the setting, was phenomenal. The temperature was great. It was like upper 50s the entire game.
Love it.
I had my shorts on, the white Georgia hoodie, comfortable as can be, and I ate a cougar tail.
What's that?
A cougar tail. They sell so many of these things at the concession stand. It's like $2. But it's like a foot long.
If you say hot dog,
no,
I'm
not
in.
A hot dog. It's not a hot dog. I wish it's a sweet treat, like a honey bun.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's called a maple bar or something like that. But it's like a cinnamon roll sort of thing. But it's like skinny. It's a foot long, and they call it a cougar tail. Everybody had cougar tails, and I was like, I'm getting me a daggum cougar tail.
When in Rome,
I regret nothing. It was fantastic. But no, I will say this: I don't know when I'll be back in Provo, Utah in the fall. I don't know if I ever will be again. But, like, if I am and there's a home game, or if you are, or the second string Cheeseheads, if you get a chance to check that stadium off the bucket list, do not pass it up, man. It was awesome.
Would love to go there. A home and home with BYU would be.
Arkansas is about to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas, I think, next year is going to Provo. Then a couple years later, they're going, BYU's coming back.
It's a proud program, a lot of history.
Maybe when they join the Big 12, which they're about to do, maybe that'll encourage a home-and-home. I don't know. I would love it, though, man. Absolutely love it.
Listen, that team right now is one of those little sleeper teams, too, because you're seeing the giants of college football this year fall off a little bit. Clemson is not going to be in the college football playoff.
This is where I got to throw some shade.
Oh, hold on.
I know.
Hey, we've said, you know, maybe this is the year Alabama isn't quite Alabama. Ohio State already has a loss. Oklahoma has not looked good. So you look on down through the top 10 and you're like, okay, there's Iowa sitting there with a very manageable schedule. There's Cincinnati, there's BYU kind of hanging around. Could any of these teams get some college football playoff love? That's what I'm asking.
Not BYU.
No?
They may in terms of record, but God forbid they make the playoffs. They will get dismantled, demolished. They're a good team. I'm sorry to do it, BYU. I learned from this, from watching and being engaged in the entire game. If I was at home, I probably wouldn't have watched a ton of it. I'd been playing on my phone,
right,
looking at Georgia highlights, kind of doing whatever I do and watching other games. But that I was there watching the entire game between Arizona State and BYU, both ranked, I can tell you this, man. Their lines of scrimmage are nothing. They would be absolutely demolished by this Georgia defense. They would be demolished by Alabama. Pick any SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to just be an SEC homer guy. A lot of ACC teams, I think, would beat up BYU pretty bad. So they're ranked number 13 right now. If they get matched up against another good team, no, it ain't happening. It is just not happening. They're not that good. I mean, they're a product of their schedule right now. They're going to play Boise State in a couple weeks. That'll be a bolster if they beat them.
Yeah.
But no, I don't see BYU making any noise anywhere for the rest of the season.
So you're
But they'll continue to win. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But don't put them in the playoff. They're not a playoff team, man.
Well, I think this could be the year, if ever, there were going to be a year
I hope to
where
see it.
Group of five or a non-Power Five conference team can sneak in there. Obviously, Cincinnati is holding that card right now. And
playing Notre Dame this week.
If they handle Notre Dame, then you better get ready for the Cincinnati playoff love to begin.
You know, honestly,
why not? They very nearly beat Georgia in the Peach Bowl.
Notre Dame's schedule kind of stinks after this game, too. This is almost like a play-in game for the playoff.
I said the same thing yesterday. I said, whoever wins this game, you might just hand them the golden ticket.
In September.
Yeah.
No, it'll be October. It'll be October 2nd, but you'll have a play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
October 2nd.
Could be, and it all depends greatly. Nobody from the ACC is getting in. But it all kind of depends on, can Oregon run the table? I think they can. Their schedule's pretty manageable, too. Can Penn State run the table? Probably not. Their schedule's a lot tougher. Could Oklahoma continue to win, even though they've struggled? Is there going to be room? What's going to happen in the SEC West? How's that going to shake out? Could Ole Miss jump into this conversation if they win Saturday?
I'm high on Ole Miss, man. It's not even that they have a good defense. They can outscore just
for some
about
reason
anybody.
We're all on the Lane train. I don't get it, because he doesn't seem like a super nice guy, but for some reason I think we're all like wanting to see him have some success, maybe just because he's bounced around so much And maybe because we saw him get berated by Nick Saban so many times, we're like, you know what? I want that guy to win on Saturday.
I like me so. He's in the perfect spot. I like Lane at Ole Miss. I will be rooting hard for Ole Miss.
They got the
Lane
offense.
They do.
They can absolutely score enough points to win on Saturday. We'll just see if they're able to contain Alabama at all.
All right, more structured full show on Thursday. We'll get you ready for what I think is going to be a very, very good college football weekend in Athens.
What is your game day sign going
to
say?
Oh, that's a good point. I think the second string cheeseheads deserve to have that beautiful man. You're the one that coined that phrase. I'll give you all the credit. I've piggybacked on it for months now.
That Cali drip.
But I like your idea. We talked off air. Get that beautiful, beautiful picture of that beautiful man with that Cali drip that I think our boys sent us this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Just make it big and bold. That beautiful, beautiful man. If not, what else do you do? I don't know.
Do you want to talk about the Falcons?
No.
Okay.
I know they won.
I mean, I know we got to go soon. So no. I was just. Do you want to talk about the Braves?
Well, on Thursday. Thursday, we'll talk a lot about the Braves because they're playing October baseball in September.
Then by Thursday, we will know
exactly
if this is for real or not.
Yes. I'm very excited about the next few nights of Braves baseball. Homework for the Cheeseheads. Between now and Thursday, you'll appreciate this. This is real homework. Go get on Netflix and watch 2 episodes of Squid Game. I love this show so much. I've watched 6 episodes.
Okay, I think you're further along than I am. My daughter and I are watching it.
You do not need to watch this with your daughter, Walker.
She's the one that introduced me to it.
I get it. There are plenty of young people that can handle it. Do not pull the 8 and 10-year-olds into the room to watch Squid Game.
No.
Long story short, it's basically the story. It's a Korean show.
Mm-hmm.
So the voiceover is a little bit bad, but just you get used to it pretty quick. It is very bad. But a bunch of guys and girls down on their luck, in debt, just not working with society very well. Not criminals per se, just a lot of people in financial debt.
Down on their luck.
They get coaxed into going to play a game on some mysterious island for a bunch of mysterious people that we don't see their faces. And they play children's games. I'm talking things you played on the playground when you were in elementary
school.
Red
light, green light.
If you lose the game, it does not end well for you.
Not at all.
In fact, well, it ends for you. Let's put it that way, okay? I'll let you connect the dots. But this is actually a fascinating show so far. It's artistic. It's beautiful. It's very gruesome.
And the eventual winners of the game are promised big money and fabulous prizes.
Huge money.
So they can get their life together.
They're all playing for more money than – I actually did the calculation. They're playing for won, W-O-N, which is the currency of Korea. Where I'm at right now, I know you're behind me, the current pot is like 41 billion won, which equates to about 20 million U.S. dollars.
I'll take that.
I will definitely take that. I would roll with $20 million and do good things in this world. So they're playing for big money. Go check it out. It's on Netflix. We'll talk more in depth about it on Thursday in our entertainment section. I may have it done by then. So we'll see what goes. Final challenge if you made it this far. Georgia playing a baseball game at Foley Field tonight.
Ooh.
I'm PA in this thing. I'll be over at Foley Field.
Look
it's free. It's free to get in. They're playing some like youth team from Ontario, like a traveling professional, semi-professional, 18 and under team, college age around there. But it's just for exhibition.
Yeah.
The concession stands are not open. You're encouraged to bring a cooler full of snacks and drinks. Bring it on in. You're good to go. So head over there tonight, Tuesday, 6 o'clock, if you're around Athens looking for something to do.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. I'm out. Walker's out. We'll be back on Thursday. Kareen ain't even getting the final word today. I muted her mic, man. We're getting out of here. We'll see you Thursday. The Second String Podcast on WGAU.
Tim Tebow.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.